wonder what she, what we thought of her when she asked for a few weeks coming up here. And yes, I can say when she came into home, we had some differences and some things to work through, for sure. But it's been good. I can I honestly say that it seemed like she feels like a daughter to us. We appreciate her in a lot of ways. So, but here, I just want to greet every one of you in Jesus' name this morning. And just what a blessed opportunity we have to gather in this way, just to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning. Just bring honor and glory to Him. Beautiful. Sometimes we just take that for granted, you know, Sunday we gather with the saints, you know. But it's precious. It is more precious, it seems like, every day, every time we gather, to gather with the saints of God. So today, I asked Steve if I should just share maybe a little bit on baptism and about the life of a believer and some of that. So that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to touch on a lot of verses on baptism, the importance of baptism. And I'm going to be talking some here on Sarah today. And just not Sarah. I know that there's several others in here that are wanting baptism and are seeking baptism. And also, I'm speaking to you as well today. As I share this, and I know that there's possibly, as I always want to encourage it from the beginning, I know that there's possibly some in here that at the age of accountability and never got born again or never been baptized. And I know that if you're at the age of accountability, God is speaking to you today. God has knocked on your heart. I know that. And some will say, well, what is the age of accountability? And I don't know. It can be from anywhere from 10 to 12 to 13, 14. So as I go through this message today, I'm speaking to you as well. You're missing out on the blessing of just following the commands of God, on God's calling. I'm going to touch on some of these baptisms, on some baptism and just the life of a believer and some of that. So just bear with me here. So let's just pray before I begin here, and that God would have His way. Eternal Father, as we do bow here this morning, Lord, I just thank You for the faithfulness of You again, Lord. Just calling on Sarah, just wanting to fulfill your promises, the Word of God, as it says there in the Scriptures. It points out repent and believe, and we've seen her do that from the beginning. After she moved up, Lord, we've seen her repentance from her heart, and we've seen her start believing, taking the Word of God, and just soaking it up, and reading the Word of God, and then all of a sudden she desired baptism. I just thank You for Your faithfulness, as it says, repent and believe and be baptized. And so today, Lord, as I just touch on just some scriptures, Lord, on some baptism and on some points of enduring on, just to be faithful, pressing on toward the mark. We know that this is not finished. Being baptized, we know that we enter into a life where Satan is angry when people continue on in their spiritual walk. And he's angry. He's going to come about trying to kill, steal, and destroy. But Lord, we know greater is He that is in You than in us, than the one that's in this world. So thank You, God, for being an intercessor, being on our side, being with us. So today, we just want to commit this service into Your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. So I don't have a long message, I don't feel. I don't know how all this is going to come out. As I told my wife before I come up here, I feel a little scattered. But I trust that God will use this. But the first verse I want to share in today is in Luke, where it says that, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, the heavens," it says, "the heavens was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." So we see that, Sarah, I'm going to be talking to you some today. It is pleasing to God to see someone go on with baptism after they're converted. And I know that as John shared there last week, that we sometimes separate baptism a little too far with salvation. And And I know I have as well from the beginning of my spiritual walk. I was after I repented and I started believing and I was sharing this with someone that I worked with about how God had done a work in my life and how I got born again. And I repented and I believed that the Lord forgave my sins. And the first thing he asked me, are you baptized? And I said, no, not yet. And he said, oh, he said, you're so close. He said, you're so close to being a child of God. And I, even though I know I was a child of God, but yet, I think what he was saying that time, I didn't know how important baptism really was to me at that time. It was just like weeks after I got born again. But I know at that time I was a child of God. And I know that it was a few months after that, God started showing me that, yes, I need a believer's baptism. Even though I was baptized when I was 16, but it was not a believer's baptism. Then, like the verse that she read there, I'll finish that. So the voice, it says that the Holy Ghost descended upon a bodily shape like a dove upon him. A voice come from heaven which said, thou art my beloved son, and in thee I am well pleased. And he did, God did that after the baptism of Jesus. So we see that it pleases God. It pleases him greatly here when Jesus did that. He was the Son of God. He was God. So I don't know if I understand all that whole verse there, how all that takes place there. But we see that it pleases God. Baptism. So like the verse that she read there, like the like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us. It says, not putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we see that there's a need for repenting, turning away from sin before a water baptism is valid. And yes, when I was baptized, I was a sinner the first time when I was 18 years old. I was a drunkard and a druggie and a fornicator and you name it. So today, as I see that here, to whoever this all may apply to, there's several others in here today. That if you repent from your sins and believe that Jesus Christ has forgiven you for all the things you have done, in Mark 16, it says here that thought I had that written down. Mark 16:16, it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that the believer, in my name, shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, they shall drink deadly things, they shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall be recovered. So we see, it says another one, without faith it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So we see being baptized is not putting away the filth of the flesh. And there need to be repentance. There need to be a confession of sins and all that. But it's a good conscience. It's a good answer of a good conscience toward God, before God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's also testifying. So remember, it's testifying to us as a church here and to the world around us, saying, I'm done with sin. And I don't know, I think that Sarah's planning on going home here in a month or so for going home. So my encouragement here is that, you know, that we'd remain faithful. That, yes, I know some people that were baptized, a believer's baptism. And today it seems like they're back into sin. Testifying to us as a church in the world around us saying we're done with sin. And telling the Lord Jesus, you're telling the Lord Jesus that I'm going to follow you at all costs. Would you give your life to the Lord Jesus? And the other night, and we were sitting there, and we were talking about some of this. I said, you know, would you give your life to the Lord Jesus? If someone had a gun pointed at your head and say, you know, if you confess that Jesus is the Son of God, if you still confess that you're a believer, I'm going to kill you. What would we do? And she said, well, I know I would take the bullet. And this is somewhat my encouragement as well to her that, that as she goes on in life, that she would remain faithful. Just reading a story here in the Martyr's Mirror the other day. Challenged me. A dad, this was in 1500s, 1557. Interesting. He died April 26th. I was just going through there and I seen that April 26th, so I ended up reading it and it blessed me. The same year I was born, a father writing a letter to his son. His son was young, but his father was sitting in prison for his faith. Very likely he was just baptized upon confession of his faith. And we know that through these Anabaptist times, the 1500s, 1600s, I don't know what the average time was when they were baptized until they died, their death. But here he was sitting in prison, a dad, and he had a child at home. It's a young boy. His name was Simeon. I'm just going to read a part of this right here. Just to share that Simeon, the father here, his name, Jorian, J-O-R-I-A-E-N, his name was Jorian, and he was sitting in prison for his faith, and he was not going to, at all costs, never recant. So here he's writing to his son, and if I understand right, his son was somewhere between 8 and under here. But let me just read a little bit here of the faithfulness of this man. It says, "May God, through His grace and mercy, grant to my son Simeon to grow up virtuously, and if the Lord permit him to reach the years of understanding, that he would to confess him, and having learned his will, to order his life in accordance with it, in order to obtain eternal salvation, through his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost. Amen." Now remember, the father sitting in prison, waiting to be executed. Very, very soon, probably. He's writing us a letter. My child and dear son, incline your ears to the admonition of your father, and hearken to the account, how in what manner he commenced and finished his life. The beginning of my life was unprofitable, proud, puffed up, drunken, selfish. And that's just what Sarah can testify as well. And most of us did. We testify of that life of puffed up, proud, drunken, selfish, deceit, full of manner of idolatry. And when I obtained maturity and began my own master, I sought nothing but what pleased my flesh. An indolent and a luxurious life. I was greedy of filthy lucre. I sought to bring my neighbor's daughter to fall. At last, it appears for my work, and what I did in secret is too shameful to mention. Yeah, I was a vessel full of iniquity. But my dear child, when I betook myself to the scriptures and searched and pursued them, I found that my life tended to eternal death. Yeah, that everlasting woe was hanging over me, and that the fiery pool which burns with brimstone and pitch was peering to me. Prepared for me, sorry. This I say was approaching me, according to the words of Paul, who says, "They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God," in Galatians 5:21. When I took this to heart, I began to be greatly alarmed and frightened. And I took the word of God for my counselor, as to which should be more advisable for me and to lead here. For a while, a corrupt life, and expected the everlasting pains of hell. Or to suffer here a little misery, if it can be called misery. And he said that, just to suffer here a little bit, if you want to call this suffering, if misery to be called, and then to enjoy eternal happiness, I found in the scriptures. And here he was sitting in a little cell, probably with rats, and he was going to be executed here soon. He didn't call that misery. He didn't call that torture. He called that the joy. He called it the joy of the Lord, that he could suffer for Jesus Christ. And that is my heart as well, that we would, this life that we have here, that it would just be a life that is pleasing to God. And we know that the flesh desires things that desire the soul, which is devilish. But he says, "What a man profiteth if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" In Matthew 6:26. Hence, My beloved son, I deemed it better, like Moses, to suffer affliction with the children of God for a little while than live a very luxurious in this world, which will perish. Thus, I abandoned my case, voluntary and compelled. And he goes on here, writing another page or so, writing a letter of encouragement to his son, hoping that his son would get this letter when he get the age of accountability and follow his words. And it says, in my son's testament, written in the year 1557, the first Monday in April, confirmed by death, April 26th, he died. But he goes on another page or so of just writing to his son of encouragement. He had as I see here, he had a burden for his son. He had a burden for his son there to live to be faithful in this life. And I trust that in here as fathers, that is our heart as well. As we see Joran sitting in his prison for his faith, he was unmovable. And I wrote, fathers, are we encouraging our children, or are we busy with the things of this life? Are we busy with seeing how much money we can make, or how much stuff we can accumulate, and how much stuff we can do? And here we all he was doing, just writing this, it was like, I think, 4 pages there, writing a son, writing a letter to his son, that he would remain faithful. Here are a few verses here in Acts on baptism here. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. As Paul was preaching here to the church here, the early church, it says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is upon you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and breaking of bread and prayers. And it says that they repent and to be baptized. And they wrote, what does the word of repent mean? What does that mean? And it says to have one's mind change. And to change a mind. And I wrote, well, how does that work? How does a mind change? How does that change? And I wrote, to repent. It says repent here means to change one's mind. And how does that work? How do we have a mind change? To repent. Think differently. There needs to be a true repentance and changing of mind before water baptism, or is just a wet dip. And I can testify that on behalf of Sarah, that there was a transformed life here from 10 months ago. Just some things that she was involved with. And it's not just because she came up here. And I know that. I don't want to tell Michael that, her father. But it seemed like just sometimes a new start. Sometimes a different atmosphere, like you said. She came up here and poured out her heart. And I seen that. But anyway, if there's not a repentance and there's not a change in the mind, it's just a wet dip. As I seen in the news the other day, a lady, a pop singer, caught my attention. It says so-and-so, I don't know what her name was, she got baptized in the Jordan River. And so I just went back and I glanced at that a little bit. And it was showed a picture of her with worldly attire, a bunch of earrings and tattoos and all that stuff. And I look at that, and all that was just a wet dip. There needs to be a transformation. There needs to be a changing of heart. And as I shared that, there's some in here possibly that are wanting that. I encourage you just to make sure that your heart is fully surrendered, or all that will be as it was for many of us in here at the age of 16 years ago. All we did had a wet little dip, or actually we didn't dip. We just had a baptism with water poured on our head. But they didn't mean nothing to God, because most of us were still full of life of sin, fornicating and just drunkenness and drugs and all that. So it's a blessed to see the scriptures here as we've seen here. It says that all those that gladly received the word were baptized. And all those that gladly received the word of God will have a hatred for sin. That's what I see in the scriptures, time after time here. They have a hatred for sin. If we're sitting here and don't have a hatred or a questionable or have a hatred for questionable or sinful things, then so we probably don't have the proper fear of God in our lives. Here we see men that come down and say, God, or what should we do? I'll touch on that a little bit here later. In Acts 1 here, and verse 5 and 6 here, it says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, what wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons, but the Father hath put you in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And what I share here, he said, John baptized with water. But each and every one of us here, before we're baptized, we need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God must be in our lives. As I see that played out throughout the whole scriptures, that it's repentance, being and be baptized. And that message that John Carnegie preached out there in Ohio a few weeks ago. Just a beautiful, simple salvation message. And he went through, his message was repent and believe and be baptized. And he did not separate baptism very far from believing or repenting. So I was just blessed with that elementary, just simple message he preached. And so remember that baptism is, as we see the scriptures, important. Believer's baptism. And I wrote, are we experiencing the Holy Spirit in our lives? If so, we'll be about our Father's business, as it says here in Matthew 28. A few verses here. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And he telling the disciples, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always until the end of this world. Amen. So we see here that the Spirit of God, just not when we're baptized, that comes with a part of that whole package, repenting and believe, that the Spirit of God will provoke us to do the things as He commands. As He told the disciples, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And that is the same thing for us today. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we will have a burden. We will have a desire for our family, for our nieces and nephews that are without the kingdom, or neighbors around us, whatever it may be. Another thing here I want to share here with Sarah, or whoever this may concern. You know, and I see that when we repent and believe and be baptized, we become a part of the body, as Paul talks about here in Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12. And remember, you know, I know that you plan on going back next month. It's important that we plug in a body of believers. Why? It's because for accountability. Because it seems like sometimes our eyes become single, and we don't even see the things that we get involved with before it's too late. But here, if we have brothers walking beside us, we have others that are watching out for our soul as well. And here in Corinthians 12, as Paul was telling the church, it says, for as a body is one and have many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. It's a beautiful thing to walk together as a body. As I'm experiencing here today with all the brothers and sisters in here, it's a blessing. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into the body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been made all to drink or one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the body, or not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, and it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they that many members, yet one body. You know, we are not all the same, as he talks about here later on in the chapter here. I'll read that, I guess. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more than these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble or necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts we have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacketh. Then he goes on and says, remember this verse here, there should be no schism in the body. So my encouragement that you would not, for you, if we each take this verse personally, what a blessing it would make. You know, like, I don't want to cause any schism in the body, and I trust that's your heart as well. That we wouldn't want to cause any schism in the body, but the members would have the same care one for another. And when one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice. Then he goes on and says that ye are the body of Christ. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers after the miracles, and even the healings and the gifts and healings, helps, governments, diversities, and tongue. Are all the apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues and all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I'll show you a more excellent way. So my encouragement, when you go back, you know, sometimes we want to think that, who are we in this body? Oh, we're just a nobody. We're just a person that comes in on a Sunday and just sits down. I trust that you won't feel that way, but you would have the little things in a body. Yes, you might not be, as a woman, a pastor or a prophet or a teacher, but there's many things as a young sister it can do to be a blessing for other sisters or younger siblings or whatever it may be. Just find your place with God and God will lead you. But my encouragement is to you, just be in a body of Christ. Help build up and not be one that causes schism in a body. Here in Galatians 3:27, it says, For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So as children of God, let us be a testimony to those around us. Let us be a light to those of the world. It says, I love that verse. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So as children of God, let's be a testimony to those around us. Let's be the light and the children of God. In Colossians 2 here, a few verses here, I know that John D. explained all these things last week in a very blessed way. That's why I'm back in here again. I was just blessed with that. My encouragement to you here, it says in Colossians 2, Paul was warning the church there in Colossians about false teaching. And this is to you, that this I say, lest any man shall beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order in the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. How did you receive the Lord Jesus? And I remember, just to testify a little bit, when I received the Lord Jesus Christ in me, I remember the purity and the peace and the joy, the happiness and all that. Yes, I did not understand the Christian life very much at all. But as I go back, it was such a joyous time. So as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. And I remember at that time when I received him, everything became exceedingly sinful for me at that time. And praise God, it still is today. But remember, the things that you confessed that when you got born again, they were sinful. Don't forget those things. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, walk you in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily. Ye are complete in him, with the head of his principality and power. And you read that, we are complete in Christ. When you are fully surrendered to the Lord Jesus, you're complete and perfect in Him. Few more verses here, yeah. In whom we also are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. You're buried with Him in baptism, where also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and the circumcision of your flesh, has He quickened together with Him, having forgiven all your trespasses. You're buried with Him in baptism. And as I see that, you know, to me, when we bury something, it's normally or always dead. You know, I remember over the years burying some our pets. We had some favorite pets over the years, some dogs and all that. And so we dug a big hole, and we buried him. But I know before I put him in there, he was dead. He was not moving. It was dead. So that's the same way with him. I mean, with us in Christ, we are buried with him in baptism. And we need to die to self and be surrendered to the will of God completely. And I testify of that. And I'm just not just her. Who else may be in here have not died to themselves. Before there's baptism that can apply, you need to be dead. You need to be buried with Him in baptism. Or buried, just dead to self. Okay, a few more verses here, and I'm gonna close. I told you I didn't have very long today. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid of those that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of this glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves for the servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So I trust that you take that your life, your Christian life there, and share. Be instrumental in sharing what God has done for you. There's power in that. Just being faithful in serving and sharing the gospel. He says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to those that are lost. And let people look at us as children of God and see that light. Because I remember we're sitting in this darkness, and there's a young man in here. Actually, he married my first cousin. And he got born again. And he sat down with us one night, and we started talking. And I could see there was something different about him. He had a light that was shining. His whole attire was different because he was a drunkard up till 2 weeks ago or a month before that. He was a drunkard. And he started sharing how God has transformed him. And it spoke loudly to me. We can be a light to those around us. And it was a light to me, even though I did not understand what all that he was saying. He was shining. He was testifying of God. He was testifying of Jesus' transformation in his life. And just the life of Paul here, yet. And I'm going to close with Romans. As we see here in Acts, as Paul, as he was about his business, he was doing the things that he thought God was calling him to do. And he was going about catching Christians, and he was doing it wholeheartedly until the Lord knocked him off his horse. And he goes, there's a voice come down and says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. When the Lord spoke to him, Paul, his name was Saul at that time, Saul said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Trembling and astonished, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told what you must do. So we know, as I shared earlier, that the Lord knocks on hearts of men and women at the age of accountability. If the Lord knocks, Encourage you. Open up. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? If Paul did here, and Paul said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord told him what to do. Jesus told him what to do. And it says that he was blind for 3 days. And it didn't take much time at all. And it says, immediately there fell from his eyes as been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and he rose, and he was baptized. Now, I understand this, that it says that he had scales across his eyes for 3 days here. It says there. So we see that in 3 days' time here, if I'm seeing that right, Saul met with the Lord, and he went and surrendered himself. And we can read the rest of his life that he was faithful. So a few verses here in closing, just for words of encouragement. Romans 6 talks about freedom from sin's power. And again, it goes to say that there is freedom from sin's power. Never, you go back and I hear that Sarah's involved back into sin, break my heart. Because greater is he that is in us than one that's in this world. And I know that Jesus is abiding there. And Paul just shares a few words here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? And that's my heart. You were baptized into Jesus Christ, and we were baptized into his death. I trust that you would remain faithful until you take your last breath. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, as like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of his Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we are dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For he that died into sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it lust thereof. Neither yield your members of instruments into unrighteousness, into sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And this last verse, it says, this is not the last verse, but it says, For sin should not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, you're but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey as servants, you are to whom you obey? Whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness, but God be thanked that ye are the servants, that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And the last verse says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So remember that being free from sin, we are righteous before God. And God wants to use us in a great way. Be servants. As Paul says, Lord, what do you want me to do? And just do it. If you're risen, then in Colossians 3, I'm sorry, this is going to be some of the last verses here. In Colossians 3, it says, if ye then been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. And that's what, like I talked about before, people get caught up in money, material things, and wealth and all that, and they're drawn away from God. For you are dead, and your life is hid with God, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, conceptiousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which sake the wrath of God cometh in children of disobedience. But now you also put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. And I know that Sarah can testify of that, the anger that she struggled with, some anger and some wrath, and the filthy communications and all that. It's gone. God has taken that, and never forget that he has taken that from you. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. And let the last two verses here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So my encouragement is let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And how do we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly? We need to take the word of God and read and read and read. And he will teach us all things that we need to know, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I just want to say God bless you, Sarah, and may the Lord have his way with you.